Welcome to Sci-Fi in Color, the podcast about science fiction, TV, and film featuring actors, directors, and writers of color. My name is Maggie.
And I'm Melissa. If you want to get in touch with us, you can email us at sfincolor@gmail.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Tumblr, and Twitter as SF in Color.
And today we're talking about Into the Badlands, episode entitled Monkey Leaps Through Mist. I don't remember what the number is.
It is number 5.
Cool. And we finally get Sunny. Well, I mean, I don't know. I'm just like, the episode was like, it was decent. I liked it, but it wasn't like, it didn't blow me away. But, okay. So, episode 5, Sunny is back from his little hiatus.
Yes.
I feel like it would make sense to go chronologically.
Yeah, go for it.
But, like, okay. So, I didn't really take too many notes. So, I'm trying to even remember where the beginning was. We started off with...
Okay, how about we do it like this? Sunny and Badgie, MK, Badlands.
Sure.
Because those three don't really have anything to do with each other.
Sounds good to me. Okay, so Sunny and Badgie, do we start off with them?
I believe... The first scene we get is Jade.
Oh,
which
right.
Which is brilliant. Brilliant.
Okay. Do we want to start with them, or do we want to do a different? Do we want to do MK or Sunny?
Doesn't matter to me.
Since we brought it up, let's start with Jade. Okay. So yeah, Ryder has passed away. I was like worried they were gonna pull a Quinn or something. Like he was gonna like I don't know. Like they miraculously healed him. But
yeah,
no, he's definitely dead. And her costuming is wonderful. Oh my god. So that's what I wrote down. I was looking at my first note and I was like, I don't know what this is, but this was the Jade. This is the very first scene. That diaphanous shawl scarf thing behind her. I was about to say veil. I guess it was a veil. But it was so good. I hope they, like, win Mad Awards for, like, costuming or something, because it was just exquisite.
Yeah, this episode in particular, I kept making note of all the costume changes.
Yeah.
And they were really, really good.
So good.
Jade, like, it just gives you such a good picture of what the episode is going to be, what the characters, like, where the characters' heads are.
Yeah.
And, like, the direction everything's going. It's just,
And one reason why I liked it so much was because in season one, we were already getting hints that, like, Jade was, like, a leader figure, right?
Yeah.
And I thought it was going to be some kind of weird thing where she was going to depose. I think depose is a better word. Although Ryder is trash. She was going to depose of Ryder. But no, Quinn did that for her. So now she's a Baron. And it's kind of this weird anti-widow thing, which is an interesting dynamic to set up, you know?
Yeah, it is anti-widow in a way because
she
didn't, you know, kill her husband for power. And yet, this does seem to be, like, a great turnout for her. Like, obviously, she's really sad, and if she wasn't so obviously heartbroken, I would definitely suspect her.
Yeah. So, I'm just, like, really interested in seeing where this goes. I think I remember seeing something about Jade having fight scenes later in the season. Although, I don't really know where she's going to get the training from, but, like, I'd be down.
I don't know. But, like, as a Baron, she needs to be able to defend herself.
For sure.
So, I think this is a new beginning for Jade. You've dumped the useless Ryder, and I know you're in love with him, but come on. And you're teaming up with Lydia, which is, like, gold.
What? Yeah, like, I don't think I ever could have, like, expected that, you know?
Yeah, it was really interesting because, in hindsight, it seems extremely obvious because they're linked together by Ryder.
Right.
But, like, and, you know, they've got the common enemy of Quinn, but in any other circumstance, they would never work together.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's really, really good, and...
I'm really liking season 2 so much more than season 1.
Yes, I agree. It feels like it has more of a direction. and
the characters just feel more complex.
Yeah, everything seems thought through better.
Yeah.
Like, not a lot happened in this episode in terms of, like, fight scenes, but I guess the way that I was thinking about this episode was that there were a lot of, like, interesting pivots for characters.
Hmm.
Where you're taking a character that was heading on one path, and they're going into a path that I like more now.
Yes, like, yes.
Jade is becoming the new Baron. As soon as that happened, I was so happy.
Yeah.
You know, teaming up with Lydia. We also have Sunny finally
back in the Badlands.
Some kind of, like, conscience or something.
Well, I think they set up that he was struggling with this whole, like, I don't want to kill people anymore, but there are compelling good moral reasons, I guess, in a way, to kill right. people who are doing evil or whatnot. So.
Yeah, I mean, like, you can use your powers for good.
But I think, and I guess I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself here, but I really liked that he didn't actually kill the guy this episode, right? He was able to...
Yeah.
Yes, he killed people. He killed Mooks. But he was still able to kind of be true to what he said to himself. Like, I'm not going to kill this guy. And he didn't. And they still were able to get what they wanted. And I'm watching this, I'm kind of already in the whole Badlands mentality of the other people, right? I was just like, well, so when they had, again, getting ahead of myself here, but when they were squaring off, right, it was like, what's the leader guy's name? Nos or something?
Yeah, Nos.
When Nos, you know, was, you know, he basically called Sunny out and then dragged the woman out who was like, oh, can you kill Nos to save my child?
Portia,
yes. And, you know, that whole scene goes down. I was just thinking, and then, like, Sunny is like, I just want Portia and her child to come with us. I was like, I was actually surprised, because I was like, oh, like, you weren't going to just default go to killing or fighting? Mm-hmm. Which I was like, I'm in that mentality of, like, all the other people in the Badlands world, which is like, oh, just default to fighting instead of, like, compromising and talking and stuff. So, like, but I was like, oh, actually, like, that's a really, I feel like his character really is developing, which is nice.
Yeah, it definitely, he's growing, but at the same time there's something extremely frustrating about it.
Yeah,
because
right,
like, these are just two symptoms of a much larger problem. And
yeah,
he didn't do anything for anyone else that was suffering there.
He, oh, just sure,
happened to be confronted by these two whose story, you know, was
right, right, right,
enough,
right. And I mean, no, yeah, that's definitely problematic, to say the least. But I mean, he can't pop, it's systemic, right? He can't,
right? No.
And then also I had another thought. I'm trying to remember,
I guess,
what it is.
I feel like there's always this dramatic give and take between whether the main character should kill, right? I remember in, like, Buffy the Vampire Slayer,
mm-hmm,
like, she wouldn't, like, kill, and, like, sometimes it would be, well, actually, that's not really a good example. I'm going to take that back.
She's a slayer. Been, it's in the name of the freaking show.
Well, no, but, no, I mean, like, killing people, like.
Mm. Sure, sure, sure.
I guess I just mean, like, in a lot of sci-fi, fantasy kind of genre, the main character shouldn't, quote-unquote, kill.
Right.
And they are willing to go through great sacrifices
to not kill.
Not to kill.
Right.
Correct. And sometimes you watch them on the screen and you're just like, if you just kill this person, things become so much easier. You're not the same because you just kill them.
But, I mean, and Portia does kind of call him out on it. She's like, well, what's one more? But, I mean, it is a moral toll on Sunny, you know, like, it's easy for her to say that. It's not like she's gonna have blood on her hands or anything. Like, I get Sunny's point of view too, like, why he's done with this, you know?
Yeah, I definitely get his point of view. But then it's also, I wonder if we're ever gonna see Nos again. I wonder
we
if...
totes are.
Yeah, okay. Well, the point is that, you know, he may live to regret letting him live.
Oh, absolutely. That will definitely happen.
Or, and this would be an interesting kind of take, too, is like, you know, whatever happens, happens because of his act of mercy. It just happens, and that's just the cost of not killing.
I think I get it, but could you elaborate?
Well, I'm thinking of a specific example, and I'm not going to name it because it makes me sound more of a nerd than I could even say.
Oh, please. This is a sci-fi in color podcast. I think it's fine.
It's anime.
Oh, are you thinking about FMA or something?
Yeah.
Okay.
But essentially, the part that I'm thinking of is the main character doesn't kill someone who is evil and then suffers because of it. But
right.
Doesn't really regret it because he didn't want to kill him in the first place and understood that by not killing, it puts him at a disadvantage and a place of weakness.
Right.
Which
is an
interesting venue for Into the Badlands to go down if they want to.
Sure. I mean, I remember when I was a kid and I would watch, like, those Batman cartoons or whatever, I'd be like, well, why don't you just kill him? Like, no offense or anything, but, like,
yeah. You
know, like, the Joker is... Or, you know, at least lock him up in something secure, because he keeps freaking breaking out of, like, Arkham Asylum or whatever. But I was just like... Or, you know, you could kill him and then that wouldn't be a problem anymore. But,
right.
You know, whatever.
It's funny, because, like, in this kind of situation, I'm just like, yeah, kill them all.
I mean, yeah. Like, I mean, in real life, things are much more
life,
complicated.
I'm not
like,
for that.
The you know, all the stuff about, you know, like morally killing people and, like, et cetera. Like, that's a whole other bucket of worms, right? But, yeah. This is, like, same things don't apply, you know, in real life as they do in, like, sci-fi fantasy, you know, fiction land.
Right,
so,
exactly.
You know.
Yeah, that got too real.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. I don't want to go too far off, but I remember reading a little thing about how... And I think it was one of those comics where it was, like, meta, and, like, the Joker was aware that he was in a comic and was, like, you know, commenting on the comic itself. But, like, and this is true, the Batman wouldn't exist without the Joker. Like, if he killed the Joker, he wouldn't have, like, an arch rival anymore. And then,
right. You
know, like, that's not compelling. So, anyway, back to Badlands. So, Ryder is dead. Lydia is... Oh,
I mean,
and can I just say, I love Lydia's costuming, like, this episode,
yeah.
This whole episode. So good. Because she's in that, like, simple clothing at the beginning,
yeah.
which I think... looked great, and like the way they did the lighting for the scenes and they lit her so good, so freaking good.
Yeah, the comparison between Jade and Lydia, it was very striking. It was great.
Yeah. So we see Lydia and, you know, Jade passes on this important news and they're like both vowing to get vengeance on Quinn. You know, the typical
like
Badlands kind of stuff. And it was just great. And then when we see her outside of that, like, bunker fort thing, she's in that purple dress. And I remember that purple dress. That was, like, totally the purple dress she was wearing in the first episode. And if not the same one, something very, very similar. No?
Yeah. No, I mean, I believe you. I don't really remember, but...
But it was great because then it was like, oh, she's, like, Lydia's back, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I really like that.
But she's better.
Yeah, she has, I mean, I feel like she's always been a vengeful person, but, you know.
Yeah.
Even
she's
more so now.
She's been vengeful, but now she has, like, someone to take vengeance on.
Right. So, I don't know if there's any more about, I mean, we have the whole scene where Jade has to, like, I don't know, kind of stab herself on a sword? Or something, because that's, like, the tradition.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was cool to get, like, the traditional Baron...
Freaking Badlands are, like, they're all such edgelords. Like, ugh.
They're so dramatic.
I know.
Yeah, so, like, she holds the sword. And there was one part of the vow that I took a note of, because it seemed very interesting. It was peace through force, justice without mercy.
Yeah, I think the justice without mercy part is very Badlandian.
Yeah, it definitely felt in-world, and I think that speaks to the way the Baron mentality is.
Yes.
like, they still think that they're doing good, even though, like, they're clearly not.
Right. They're just upholding this kind of totalitarian regime or something. Oh, I wrote down in my notes, Widow 2.0.
Yeah.
And I did notice, too, so that was all before, that was like a, oh my god, my brain is failing me today. It was a cold open, when they do the open before the, like, little credit sequence.
Yep.
And I noticed after that, when they did the little intro thing, the armadillo symbol was behind the actress's name, the one who plays Jade.
I didn't catch that.
I was like, oh, I see you. That's very good. I don't think they did that in the other episodes, but I might not have been paying attention. But I think I believe that was purposeful, and I was like, that's a good nod to, like, she's a Baron now, you know?
Yeah, no, I've
now we got, like, three women Barons. Like, whoa.
I love the direction that this
is going. I mean, once they add women to the writing team, everything just got better.
Yep, but that's the lesson here. You know what's ridiculous, though?
What?
Slightly off topic, but only a little bit. Ryder as a ghost.
I kind of liked him a lot as a ghost, though. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, no. He is literally, like, Quinn's imagining of Ryder is better than Ryder. Like, when he was alive.
Right.
Like, he knew the right things to say. He knew how to get under Quinn's skin. It was great. I was like, where has this boy been?
He should have died earlier, man. He was great as, like, a ghost slash hallucination.
I do like calling him Ghost Rider, though.
Like the movie?
Yes, like the movie. Oh, my
God.
It is an interesting thought, though, like, if this is all, this is all happening in Quinn's head or whatever, even the way Quinn imagines Ryder, you know, like, how he would want his son to be is so significantly better than how Ryder turned out.
I know. That's a tragedy that his, like, this figment of his imagination is so much more, like, amazing than the actual person. So
it is a little sad, though, because, like, part of me now seeing Ryder being cool, I'm like,
I kind of want more of Hallucination Ryder. Just a little bit.
I wish, like, real Ryder had become cooler, I guess.
Yeah, he had his moment. He squandered it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he is, like, failure upon failure upon failure. He has been for the whole show.
Yeah. Huh. I'm trying to figure out that guy who is playing Nos, who he is. But I don't think he's been in anything, like, big. He just, when you take out the eyebrows off of a white guy, he just starts looking like Matt Smith. And I'm like, I know that's not Matt Smith, but, like, he looks like Matt Smith. The 11th Doctor from Doctor Who, if you guys don't know who I'm talking about.
Nos had a very Jokerish look to him.
Well, yeah, I think the white face paint and the freaking eyeliner.
Well, yeah, but it was very... I don't know, something about his mouth.
Was it the mustache?
No, well, not the mustache. Something about the mouth, like, it almost seemed like it extended longer than it did. It reminded me of the Joker.
I'm not gonna lie. When I was watching this episode, I was kind of distracted because I was trying to, like, eat cereal and take notes at the same time. So it was a whole thing.
Let me just take a moment to explain this. Eating cereal and watching TV is one of the most difficult things because you're crunching in your mouth and you can't hear the TV, but you don't want to stop because you can't slow down because then things are going to get soggy. And if that's not a first world problem, I don't know what is, but it is a real problem.
I mean, let's not get into this. I was like, I was going to start talking, but I'm like, you know what? It's time to cut this off. Anyway, the title is Monkey Leaps Through Mist. Who is the monkey? What is the mist? Doesn't even matter.
You know, when I hear the title in its completion, I think of, you know, kind of someone coming out from behind the shadows.
Right.
And so, that's all I have. That's literally, I don't know.
I feel like no one really fits this. So, shall we move on?
I mean, who could the monkey be?
Who could be anyone?
What could the mist be?
I mean,
you could make arguments, you know? Like, you could be like, oh, the monkey is, like, MK, and he's finally escaping, even though we got very little of MK.
Or I mean, Vale is finally escaping, which is great.
It could be that. Or it could be Sunny's conscience is finally escaping. I don't know.
I feel like it's fun to try to make things fit, but I feel like for this episode, it's too vague. Like, I can't work out a good analogy or anything.
Yeah, I mean, I could make an argument for any character, and that's not... I mean, that's just a... there's no point to that.
Any more notes about Jade / Lydia and their whole revenge plot?
I'm just really excited.
No, it's gonna be good, dude. It's gonna be so good.
I'm on board for this.
Because last we saw Lydia, she had killed someone.
Yeah. I don't know, like, whether she was, like, exiled from her clan
She
or
was.
Whatever.
She was.
What?
She was.
Okay. Then what has she been doing?
I guess she'd been hiding out in the woods. I don't know how they found her so fast, honestly. Like, I don't know. Good question. I don't think we're ever going to find out, because it's not important, but...
Yeah.
Or it's not important enough to the show and the writers, so we're not going to know, but...
Yeah.
Presumably she's being, like, out on her own. So, now she's back in power.
Well...
In a way. Right.
It's funny, because, like, you know what I would love is, you know, whatever happens to Quinn, I don't care. As long as he ends up dead.
He's gonna die soon.
Oh, he is. But Lydia, like, basically stays with Jade and helps her run Barren Land. because Jade, for being an effective leader that she is, she's still extremely new to everything.
Right.
And I think she could do allies that said...
How crazy would that ish be if Lydia was Jade's regent?
Oh snap. I don't think that's going to happen.
But that would be amazing.
It would be amazing. The problem... with them teaming up for an extended period of time is I don't
they would hate each other and they would kill
each other. They don't trust each other. I don't think they hate each other, but they definitely don't trust each other, and I mean for good reason.
Sure.
Jade is the one who framed Lydia
back in season there one. Was all that stuff about Lydia had to was like, you know, supposed to be betrothed to Quinn and yada yada yada.
The two of them coming together to try and kill both of their ex-husband is a fantastic development.
Thank you. Shall we move on to Quinn? No, maybe not? Hold on. I'm trying to think who we should talk about next.
This episode is actually really difficult to break down.
It's not that interconnected, yet it is.
Yeah. It's not interconnected, like, with a lot of characters interacting with each other, but in terms of, like, plot repercussions.
Sure.
It is very interconnected.
Yeah.
So I guess that's what makes it confusing. But yeah, Quinn's...
Can we just swing over to MK real quick? Because I feel like he has a very short piece, and we can kind of get that out of the way. So, MK
is doing nothing with his life.
Well, he's trying to escape... I think he's always trying to escape somewhere, so he's doing it yet again. So he takes off. I love that little air raid siren thing they had during that waterfall scene.
Really cool.
It was such a good touch. And he bounces, leaving his clothes for some reason. I'm trying to remember if they foreshadowed if there was, like, trackers or anything in the clothes. I don't think so. But he leaves his clothes behind, or, you know, part of it behind, runs off into the woods. I was very disturbed by the whole people hanging from a tree thing.
I was
trying to understand if that was supposed to... Oh, also, let me quick note. I love how the girl's face when she realizes MK's is gone is kind of like a summer camp counselor's face when they realize something happened to one of their kids or that one of the kids is missing. It was like that kind of face. Anyway, back to the whole, you know, more serious bit. So... he sees a tree full of, you know, hanged dead people. I was, like, trying to understand, was that people that the monks had executed? That's my guess, but I wasn't sure.
I had no idea. Like, there are a lot of thoughts that went through my mind. That was one of them.
Again, it is kind of going trending towards that, because we haven't had too much of that Southern Gothic feel from Badlands in a while, but that was very heavy in season one, so it did kind of bring me back to that whole Southern Gothic, like, super effed up stuff going on. I mean, like, it's already the Badlands, so it's bad enough, right? But
yeah,
there was a distinctly Southern Gothic vibe in the first season, especially with Quinn being Quinn.
Quinn is Quinn. That's, yeah, that's a good...
Right. So it's kind of been lacking that for a while. So I don't know if it's important. It was definitely disturbing, though.
It was definitely disturbing. I also wondered, maybe, like, where the monks live, there's, like, a defensive mechanism, and that's what had killed them.
Oh.
And like,
well,
And they were just, like, they hadn't died from the hanging. They were hanging there as, like, a warning.
Oh.
That might be too much of a leap. It's...
What the... Wouldn't they be facing the other way? And not facing inwards towards the temple?
Would they all...
Unless they're trying to say... Unless they're trying to say they're trying to warn kids from escaping? I'm not really sure.
I don't know.
It's... We just don't have any more information about it, you know? We can't
the
really draw
about,
any conclusions.
The thing about the Badlands is that sometimes they do things because of plot. And sometimes they literally just do things for the aesthetic.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I would not say that is my aesthetic, but yeah.
Yeah.
So, I guess the reason why I thought maybe it was like a spot where the monks executed people was because one of them have the necklace that they wear or something? That's what
it was. Some significant, like, symbol.
I thought that's what the monks wear, but maybe I'm conflating different TV shows and stuff.
But they were also wearing, like, those, like, green clothes or something, which we've never seen before.
Right. Anyway, yeah, deeply disturbing. It was nice that MK, I mean, he did steal clothes, but it was nice that he, like, did, like, a proper burial, which kind of ties into that larger theme of, like, you know, death and stuff in this episode.
Yeah.
I mean, there's constantly death in the Badlands, so it's like, death is always
it's called the Badlands.
It's the Badlands. So he gets the clothes and he's on his way, and that's pretty much it for MK in this episode.
MK, what are you doing, MK?
Well, he knew he was. I don't know if waiting it out would have been a better option.
I don't know, but
it's hard to say.
It's weird because I feel like we just don't have the information we needed to glean from the monks yet, so he can't leave.
Yeah,
we don't have any answers.
But he did see that they. Well, it's also, I don't know if this is how MK would see it, but I also felt like maybe this is potential, what he was thinking. Like, if he gets caught, they just take his powers away from him, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't exactly want his powers in the first place, yeah? So, it's really not like he would, they're not going to kill him. They're just going to strip him of his powers, which he doesn't really want anyway. So, I don't think it would really be, like, it would kind of be, in a weird way, a win-win. Because even if he gets caught...
Mm-hmm. Assuming they don't throw him on the hanging tree.
Right. So, I don't know. I'm very confused about what that was all about.
Yeah.
Because we know the master wants to shape him into something.
Yeah.
What? We're not exactly sure yet.
That's the thing. We just don't know enough yet. And it
but,
it,
I mean, it's kind of nice because there is some mystery. And then also, like, it's not... I mean, sometimes it's fun when the audience knows more than the characters. But, like, sometimes it's like, okay, like, we're all on the same page here. We are very confused, like you are, character.
True.
So sorry, guys. There was some weird lag, and we had to restart. So what were you saying, Melissa?
I was saying that there should be a plot reason for MK to be in the monastery. And he's had revelations about his past, sure. But there have been so many mysteries about the monastery, I feel like that need to be answered, not maybe right now, but should be answered, let's say, by the end of the season or by the end of the show. And having him in the monastery is the perfect time to start getting some answers about them, because you get to see, you get a window into that world with a character we already care about.
Right.
Unless they're going to basically be a villain, which it doesn't seem like they're going to be, like, a strict, like classical villain. They do seem to be slightly more complicated than that.
Right.
I don't really know how they're going to keep introducing them.
Right. I mean, I guess I feel like... It feels like we've been there for such a long time.
Yeah.
So it feels like it's time to get going. But also... But I see what you mean. But also, I think it's a possible problem. And it's not... Well, not a problem, per se. But just, like, realistically thinking about MK and his status in the temple. Like, he can't know everything. He can't... I mean, it's dumb, though. That's a stupid excuse. Because he was, like, sneaking around freaking the fort in Season 1 and able to glean a lot of information. So, I don't know. It just feels like things are frustrating and hidden and mysterious to us because they're hidden from MK. And that's why we're not getting the answers we want, right? But... Mm. Maybe that's a flimsy excuse if MK is able to... Because, you know, we always see MK exploring around at night, but... And he kind of does that here, too, in the temple, yeah. But, you know. I don't know. Do you see what I mean, though?
No, I see what you mean. I guess... I'm not thinking about it from, like, a character point of view. I'm thinking from, like, a pure, like, plot outline point of view.
Right.
Where, like, we're going to have to get the answers eventually. And this is a good time to get them for convenience.
Right.
And I feel like, and this was actually a consistent issue throughout this particular episode, I feel like Badlands didn't utilize foreshadowing well enough.
Right.
In the previous episodes to properly hint at what was going to happen in this episode. So things felt extremely out of the blue.
Hmm. Mostly, I kind of see that.
Kinda. Mostly with the Quinn plot lines. Especially...
Right, they should have been a little bit more consistent with the tumor. We talked about that many times.
Yeah. Yeah, the tumor has been so inconsistent. Apparently he's getting worse, but there's been no indication of this.
The only indication that he's getting worse is, like, the hallucinations.
Well, yeah, but the hallucinations, like...
Are so sudden.
Really, yeah, they came on this episode, I believe.
Right, and, like, how convenient.
Right. I mean, I can get that it's because, oh, he killed his own son, blah, 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 drama. But I think if we had seen him gradually still getting worse, that would have been much more dramatic, one. And
oh,
two,
yeah.
We see Vale, I know I'm getting ahead of myself, but Vale is confronted by one of the Clippers who has the x-ray of Quinn's tumor getting larger. We never saw him finding it. We never saw him even looking for it or suspecting her, really.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I kind of knew when she placed the cutout. She didn't, like, burn it, right? And I told you this is going to bite her in the butt later. I knew that when I saw it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's was like this random guy found it. So it's like,
yeah,
who are you?
Yeah, this random guy found it.
Who
randomly,
are you?
Who is just going through the desk because... he wanted to.
Well, I mean, I guess it's a thing where he's like, oh, I'm suspicious that Edgar's dead, and, you know, now it's time for me to dig up some dirt is a possibility. But
the way he was talking, it seemed like he had been suspecting for longer than just Edgar's death. And
right.
If it was triggered by Edgar's death, we should have seen him, like, rifling through all of her stuff.
For sure.
It didn't. There was, like, logical fallacies here.
Yeah, no, like, I definitely agree with you there that, like, that was really out of the blue. That needs to be set up more. I mean, we don't even know, does this guy even have a name? I mean, even freaking Peachy
know.
Just had a name last season. So, it's like, I mean, we get the fact that he's some kind of high-ranking guy, but really random.
Yeah, it would have been so much more tension if he'd found it, let's say, last episode.
Right.
And we knew that somebody had, like, information about that. That
would right.
have added more tension to the show. I don't understand why they didn't do that.
Yeah. Too busy, you know, filming those fight scenes. Getting all that choreo down.
Yeah. But there wasn't even that many fight scenes in this episode.
I think there were not many, but the quality of the one that we did get was pretty up there.
I will agree. I'll give you that.
I think it was... That looked like a pretty difficult scene to set up. But
yeah, it was very impressive. I was very happy with it. But
come here for the fight scenes, stay here for the fight scenes, as we say.
Yep.
So yeah, we've been skipping around all over the place.
Yeah.
So yeah, so Quinn is kind of like haunted by the fact that he just killed his own son. And again,
and he went from 0 to 100.
Yeah, I'm really loving
so quick.
I'm really loving Ghost Rider. He's great. I mean, he's basically just like Quentin Conscience, to be sure, but still good.
Ghost Rider is the best writer, unfortunately for Rider.
Unfortunately. And then,
and it's interesting because
yeah,
his like it's like that little voice in his head,
right?
That's
who who's Rider's right, being. Who's and correct. So
it's. I also kind of felt a little strange about him as well because he seemed to suspect things that Quinn wasn't currently suspecting. And
he seemed like he was suspecting things that the audience knows.
Correct. That is insanely correct. And if you think about it from the audience point of view, then yeah, the X-rays have been foreshadowed. All the veil things have been foreshadowed for us, but not for the characters.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I could say, again, I feel like I'm making excuses, flimsy excuses for the characters, because I feel like Quinn was originally a very paranoid man.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's wrong for him to be paranoid. I think that is part of his character. But yeah, like, they never really, like, we got the sense that he did trust Vale a lot, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, this does feel, like, of course he doesn't trust her 100%, because that's, he's not that naive, but
right.
It yeah, it was a little. It worked for me because just because we know Quinn is paranoid, but it is flimsy.
It was frustrating for me because you could argue that, well, maybe Quinn kind of knew these things in the back of his head,
but didn't want to admit it.
Want to deal with them.
Mm-hmm.
But I wish we had seen some kind of hint of that.
Yeah, something of him grappling with that, right?
Right. But so many things just kind of came out of nowhere in this episode. And I don't want to seem like I'm, like, complaining. Oh, well, I am complaining.
You
but
are.
I actually liked this episode a lot, even though I'm being negative Nancy about it.
Even though it was a bit flawed.
Well,
there were
right.
some good moments.
I think I just have to accept that Into the Badlands is good at some things and not good at others.
Yeah.
And the way that they kind of build and escalate, like, mysteries is one of their downsides.
Not to your preference.
Correct. But I really enjoyed most of this episode.
Yeah.
Excluding the moments where I was extremely frustrated.
Yeah. I really like the whole, like, Macbeth thing where, like, or
yes.
is it Macbeth? Like, the whole, like, he's trying yeah. to get the blood off his hands.
Lady Macbeth, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Out, damn it, Spot.
The camera angles in this episode were wonderful.
Like what?
I think there's one with, I want to say Quinn, that's really good.
Mm-hmm.
I was especially impressed when there's that fight scene that Sonny's doing and the camera's just swinging around following him. I just, ugh, so good. So good. I'm trying to think if there's anything else about Quinn. Oh, right. Let's give Vale mad props for being able to pull that off because, oh my god. To have to kiss the man who killed your parents on the mouth and make it believable. That poor woman.
That poor woman.
But she did what she had to do to survive. So.
Yeah.
And, I mean, yeah. Now that you're bringing it up, I really do have mixed feelings about that weird scene with Vale and Quinn with, like, you know, Ryder knowing too much and all.
Yeah. The Ryder is the audience.
Yet it was effective. I mean, I really was scared for Henry.
Because,
like, Quinn's crazy. Who knows what kind of deranged ish she would pull off, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, and then Vale books it, and I'm like, yes, thank God.
Yeah.
We've been waiting for this moment forever.
Goodness.
I was wondering how they were going to handle Edgar being dead. So I'm glad that was addressed. Because I was like, how is this not an issue?
Yeah, it was addressed, but Quinn didn't seem particularly disturbed by it.
Right. I actually thought Quinn... When Ghost Rider says to Quinn that he needs to, like, threaten Henry, I thought he was going to be threatening her, about the X-ray is not, like, this random guy, you know?
Yeah.
And it just didn't end up that way. It was just, it was all very strange.
It was. I was so glad to see Vale get out of there. It's funny, because, you know, at the end of last episode, Vale was probably in the worst place we had seen her.
Right.
And even in this episode, she's really not in a great place when she's being questioned, and she's lying, and she's saying that Edgar came on to her. And
which
then,
failed because he's gay.
Yeah, which is...
Oops. Which also makes sense why they would leave him with her.
Yeah, I guess it does. Have we ever had an LGBTQ character?
On the show?
Yeah.
Not that I know of.
Not that I can think of either.
Yeah. So that was a nice incorporation and also made sense plot-wise.
Yes. And then he's dead.
And then he's dead. Well, yeah, there is that whole unfortunate trope of, like, killing your gays.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Mm. Poor Edgar.
As opposed to killing your gaze when you just close your eyes.
Oh my god. You're the worst.
I know, right?
Anyway.
No, but we saw Vale kind of at her weakest at that point. When everything's going wrong. Somehow, this monster magic guy knows everything about her secrets.
Monster magic guy?
Yeah. Who doesn't even have a name, I don't think.
He wasn't even given a name like poor Petri Dish was given a name.
Yeah, poor Petri Dish. Rest in peace. But then we saw Vale almost at her strongest when she's confronting Quinn, where she's
that was a wild ride.
It was really good.
Yeah.
And it was like she was able to kind of pick herself up and really kind of make the best out of a very, very bad situation.
Yeah. I honestly was like, I knew that she was going to escape this episode because they did, like, once they were like, oh yeah, let's join forces and attack the fort, I was like, oh, she's going to take advantage of this and leave. Yeah. I think I guessed it wrong. I thought she was going to leave when the widow and I was assuming that the widow and Jade were gonna attack at the same time, or you know, Lydia, whichever. But no, it was just Lydia. But it still worked out. So I was like, thank goodness she's taking advantage and finally leaving, because we saw how hard it was for her to leave last episode.
Yeah, I agree that I thought that it was almost time for her to leave, but I thought that it would have been through Jade somehow,
right?
Because they're like friends. I don't remember.
They were kind of like friends. It was weird.
Yeah, I don't think their backstory was ever really...
I think it was really like they knew each other.
Somehow.
Type of thing.
Yeah. But here we are. Though, you know, how Vale is going to fare in the woods by herself in the Badlands.
Well, apparently Lydia was able to do it, so...
That's true. Lydia's very capable, but so is Vale.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm just thinking about that weird line that Quinn threw out about how, like, Vale is pure and good. And I was like,
okay. I like you giving the same cadence.
I'm trying. But you know what I mean? Like, that voice. And then his line was just, I was just like, really? Like, you weren't suspicious even a little bit?
Yeah. But I mean, clearly he is suspicious, but only Ghost Rider is suspicious.
Ugh. Just have the tumor kill him already. My god.
Okay. We'll have to discuss this once Quinn dies for real. But the question that's been going around in my head is, was it a good idea to even bring Quinn back in the first place?
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I'm kind of curious. I mean, if only for, like, last episode and the whole reaction, that was so good. But I'm also, one other weird thing I'm trying to figure out, and I don't think I ever will, is what is up with, like, he was watching Modern Times. He was watching some kind of Charlie Chaplin film.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was like, what is the significance of this? You can't just, like, throw things in, like, like, you know, you can't just be like, oh, I'm going to put this, like, there should be some kind of special significance. I wasn't getting it. So... that was a little bizarre to me. Unless it's like, oh, times are changing and Quinn's gotta go or something. But, like, it was very odd. No, I don't know why they chose that one. It was, you can't just be like, oh, because it's in public domain or something. That's stupid.
Well, I mean, realistically, yes. But it's, I mean, it's a reminder that this is a quote-unquote our future, but that's all. I couldn't glean anything else from it.
I feel like if you do something like that, it should be thematically appropriate or foreshadowing or something, you know?
Yeah.
I don't like it when they just, like, throw random stuff in. Like, it's, like, this is a story. You're telling a story. This is not real life where you're just, like, randomly watching whatever, you know? But that's just me.
There's significance to the fact that I've started the Great British Bake Off.
I have some thoughts about that, but I will keep that to later.
Okay.
Okay, so that's, I mean, any more notes about Quinn and Vale?
Aw, puppy. He just jumped on my bed. I love my dog more than I love most people. Anyway.
You love your dog more than you love yourself.
I mean, that's not hard, though. The only thing that we haven't really touched on is when the clippers of the Armadillo clan...
The Armadillo clan?
They make their first affront onto the bunker.
Right.
And
it's booby trapped.
To, like, be some kind of booby trap, and they get kind of flown backwards. And...
Good, like, thing Vale wasn't leading the charge.
Yeah, right. It was interesting because I thought they were going to get in, like, kind of easily, and then I was like, why couldn't Vale just get out that way?
Mm-hmm.
But then they answered it because there are booby traps, and it's... I was glad for that kind of rationalization, and I think there's going to be epic fight next episode.
There's always an epic fight.
Well, yeah, but still.
Okay, so that's it for Quinn and Vale. We talked about Jade and Lydia. Any more on them? We covered them, yeah?
Yeah.
MK is good. Widow, yeah. Widow, Waldo, and Tilda. So, you know, the Widow was trying to play by the rules, go along with what Waldo was saying, but in the end, she's like, nope, I am Team Instinct. Hashtag Pokemon Go. sorry. that just sprung to my mind just now. So, no, she's like, okay, yeah, Tilda, you're my regent. I trust you. Let's do this my way. I felt a little bit bad for Waldo, because I feel like he made some valid points and is an intelligent, smart asset. But, yeah. You know.
I think Waldo is still playing the long game, and his reasoning is extremely sound. That said, I love seeing the Widow stand up for what she believes in.
Be a maverick.
But, again, on the other hand, I don't know if teaming up with Quinn
I was with Waldo on this, I was like, what? You're gonna team up with Quinn? Didn't you, like, try to kill him? I mean, I know we're in a world where, you know, alliances shift so quickly.
Yeah.
And whatever, but I was like, really? Quinn? But, you know, I can see this working out for plot reasons, because then if Quinn dies, then she wins. So.
Yeah.
You know? Not that she can know that or anything, but...
I get it. For just, in her mind, it makes sense because all the other barons turned against her.
Right.
So she doesn't have a lot of allies, and she doesn't want to go crawling back to the barons who just were about to, like, kill her.
Right.
So
it makes Chow's a lot still of around. Sense.
But right. Quinn is still... Quinn.
Yeah, he's like a loose cannon. He's horrible.
And also dying.
Right. Although only Vale knows that, and apparently that one random guy.
That one dude. That magic man.
Oh my gosh.
What are you doing with the Badlands? You're drunk. Go home.
Yeah. We have not gotten much of Tilda this season.
Yeah. So. I feel like because she's been so separate from MK, and I think that's the two of them together was
wonderful.
Yeah, I think that's where both of them become the most interesting.
Right.
And yeah, MK hasn't really been doing it much for me either.
We need our B ship.
Yeah. Well, our A-ship isn't even together.
I know, but that is driving a lot of the plot for those two, so that's good. Also, that haircut looks fantastic on Sunny. I will continue to say, I love the short hair look. It's just great. Yeah.
He looks very manly.
Yeah. Any more about Widow and her little Widow sphere?
Widow sphere, I like it.
I like it better than Widowlands. I know that was your go-to.
Yeah, that was mine from season one. But yeah, I think that's really it. I mean, it's interesting that Tilda's bet about, like, trusting her gut paid off.
Yeah.
You don't see that very often.
Right.
When she's basically talked into disobeying her orders, and then it turns out, well...
Right, because, you know, I just remember that one time in our episode, was it... Pickaxe Frisbee. I still love that name so much. Where she, like, literally throws a pickaxe to the Widow, and that made everything kind of worse. But in this case, it worked. So.
Yeah, it works, and just everything is kind of bubbling. It's like when you're making soup, and the soup is bubbling, and it's not ready yet. The flavors haven't coalesced, but they're getting there.
They're getting there. Yeah.
That was a really poor metaphor.
No, I got you. I got you. I don't think that's bad. I got you. So is Sunny and Badgie's plot line the last one and the only one we have left?
Yep.
Okay, let's go. Let's do it. So they go to this guy that Badgie knows, because that's always how this is done. They go see a guy that Badgie knows.
Yep.
We all know this character. We know Badgie's character. He's like, you know, they go to ask for favor, and then you get a little, like, standoff between him and the leader guy. But, oh, it's all jokes, or, you know, sort of jokes.
Yeah, Lando Calrissian this.
The what?
They Lando Calrissian'd it, which is just a Empire Strikes Back reference.
I was like, I know I've seen this trope somewhere before. I couldn't remember. I'm sure there's a proper trope before.
It's been done many, many times, but that was the version that I was thinking of.
Right.
With Han Solo and Lando Calrissian. But... you know, you knew that it was all going to be fine between the two of them because...
Well, you knew there was going to be a confrontation where they're like, oh, you expletive jerk, whatever, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I don't know if I thought it was going to be fine, but I thought it was going to be, like, reasonably okay.
And it, you know, everything was fine.
And we find out he's temporarily. The host is a disgusting pimp who pimps out very young children as well, which is pretty morally abhorrent.
Yeah.
So.
Because he kind of, like, he says he's, like, a businessman, and he tries to sell himself as reputable, but he's, like...
What reputable?
Clearly scum.
Yeah. He prostitutes, like, people who are basically children. So.
Not that prostituting anyone is good.
Right.
But, you know.
But it's especially repugnant. We get this little side story. There's a girl, and then her mom is one of the dolls, and, you know, I guess that's part of his little hospitality suite. I guess everyone gets to sleep with a prostitute or something if they stay at his place. I don't know. It's a whole thing. I find it interesting that, I don't know, I feel like the whole, oh, this other doll overheard Sunny. I mean, I find that so odd.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like not that I wanted to hear this or anything, and I guess it makes some kind of weird sense, but, like, for people who were apparently near enough to hear them, it didn't really sound like, I don't know, Baji and the doll were having sex or anything. Like, it didn't... not that I wanted to hear that, but it seemed very, like, oh, if it's supposed to be like, oh, the tent walls are flimsy. Like, what? It was very quiet. But then I guess it makes sense, too. If it was quiet, then she could hear them, but then it's all just, like, stupid, though. It's not really logical. Or
it was
anything.
A lot of things just happen because they need to happen.
Right, for plot.
Right. It was interesting. I think the girl's name is Amelia.
Yes,
And the mother is Portia.
Portia.
And, you know, obviously, they're immediately sympathetic characters.
Right.
And watching Sunny's turmoil about what to do with them is compelling,
mm-hmm.
though slightly frustrating.
Right, because the whole, like, I don't want to kill anyone type thing.
Yeah.
But I get it, too, because it's like, you know, like, people are basically trying to just, like, use him as a mercenary. Like, yeah. Oh, like, you know, Portia would never think to, or I mean, not think to, maybe she has thought about it, but, like, she's not going to go kill Nos or try to. She's going to pin it on this other dude. I was saying this earlier in the episode, you know, like, it's not, like, is it really his burden, you know? Should it really be Sunny's burden? But I mean, I get what you mean, too. Like, sometimes the easiest way is just to kill the evil villain.
Yeah, Sunny has a lot of power.
Right.
And with that power comes great responsibility.
Oh, my God. Get out of this house.
Okay, bye. But he does have some kind of responsibility if he's going to think of himself as a good person.
Right.
And he's going to, you know, try and make a change. He can do the thing where he just puts his head down and pretends that the world isn't there and it's not bad because he's not doing any bad things and he's not contributing to the world being bad. Or he could actually actively, potentially make it better.
Mm.
And, like, this was a key part of Sunny's development that needed to happen.
Right.
So I'm glad that it happened.
Yeah.
But, you know, that scene where Portia's trying to get Sunny to kill Nos is pretty rough.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I felt for both of them, honestly.
Yeah.
And then Badgie says his normal self, so...
Yeah.
I really like Nick Frost as, like, a complimentary character to, like, a foil. That's, like, it's really working for me. I like it.
Yeah.
I hope he sticks around. Even though he's, I guess, like, quote-unquote obnoxious or annoying. Like, I really enjoy his character.
Yeah, he works with Sunny, especially for this road trip kind of thing.
Road trip.
And, you know, even Badgie, in the end, turns against
Nos, yeah.
Which is interesting.
Right.
Because it isn't really... Well, I guess you could argue whether it was in his own best self-interest or not.
Right. I mean, we don't get too much about what's going on in his head or anything, but...
Yeah. Maybe not much, honestly.
Well, I think he's smart enough to survive the Badlands and the Outer Badlands. So I think he's intelligent enough to get all that stuff done, so I wouldn't say he's, like, dull or anything.
No, I guess the question I have
is. He's a coward, but, you know.
Right. The question I have about him is, did he, like, fight back against Nos because it was the right thing to do? Or because Sunny is his best chance at surviving, so he has to keep Sunny, you know.
Right. Because, I mean, but I don't know. He also could have just taken off in the car by himself.
That's true.
He didn't need to bring them, you know?
That's true.
And he has enough fighting skills on his own that I think he would have been able to rough it if it was just, like, him in the car.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know.
That was an interesting car, though.
Oh, it was very, like, let's go full Mad Max on this one.
Yeah, right?
I loved it, though. It was great. I wonder where they're going to get gas, because I don't know where they're going to get gas. But
I was thinking the same thing. I was like...
Maybe there's a tank in the trunk or something. Who knows?
Maybe.
But I mean, we do know that cars still exist in this world. People use them very rarely. So.
Yeah, but... like, is there a finite amount of gas that this car can have?
Yeah, because I don't imagine that people know how to obtain gas in this world.
Yeah.
That seems like a lost knowledge or something. But, you know... Maybe they're all, like, solar-powered. They're not solar-powered.
They're definitely not solar-powered. It's way too steampunk for that.
Yeah. Any more notes on their little subplot?
Well, I mean, Sunny's fight scene was awesome. Which
we
discussed, but it was just... It was really good. That's all.
So, is that it for the episode?
That's all I've got.
Okay. So, yeah, I guess, I like the episode. I like where things are trending. Didn't, like, blow me away, per se, but I liked it. And, again, I really think that season 2 is so much stronger than season 1.
I agree.
I mean, there are, you know, there are some things that are a bit better in season one, but as a whole, season two, I'm liking more.
I would concur.
Yeah.
It's been much stronger. It's more compelling. Part of it is because they had just had more episodes, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, they only had 6 episodes. So,
yeah.
Next week would be the, next episode would be the finale if it was last season.
Right.
So they can move at a much different pace. But, mm-hmm. no, I think everything about this season is stronger.
Right.
Excluding the feels, because all of the best ships are apart, so.
Yeah, there's not as much shipping this season. Makes me sad. Yeah. Okay, so I'm not sure if we're going to be posting an episode next week, just because I have a crazy, hectic schedule. So, we'll see. If we do, I guess we'll do another Badlands episode.
Yeah.
And I know, you know, some of you are probably raring to get back into Sense8, so.
Yeah.
That'll be a time. Okay.
That'll be a time.
It'll be a time. All right,
you know what's so ridiculous, though?
What?
We've got all these great shows we're covering right now, and, like, once we finish with these two, I don't even know what we're going to do.
Oh, no, there's plenty of other shows I can think of. I say, totally lying right now. I know there are other shows.
There are. These are like one. These are recent.
These are like our cornerstones,
cool
man.
Shows. Yeah.
Anyway, didn't Badlands get renewed or something?
I believe it did, but I'd have to double check.
Yeah. We'll play it by ear. So hopefully we will be back next week. If not, don't fret. We'll definitely be back in September with more episodes. Again, feel free to submit your suggestions to our social media, to our email, and we will hopefully see you next week. Bye.
Bye-bye.